Welcome to Life, Liberty, and Equip Podcast. I'm Greg Davis, founder of Neomag, and a firm believer that life is worth living boldly, liberty should be used for good, and we all have a calling to be equipped to pursue it. Every week we explore what it means to live with intention and carry the tools and mindset that prepare us for whatever comes. We'll dive into the topics around the freedoms we cherish, the gear we trust, and the skills that equip us. It's more than a podcast. It's a mission. Life, liberty, and equipped to pursue it. We're coming to you live on the Neomag YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook accounts, and we'll be putting your live comments right into the conversation today. If you're listening to the recorded podcast, you can go live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we'd love to have you join us in real time. Don't forget to join the Neomag Insiders Club. It's free to join and gives you access to exclusive episodes, special discounts, behind-the-scenes content, and more. Just head over to neomag.com and sign up through the pop-up on our site. While you're here, please subscribe to the channel, follow us on social, and please leave us a review for the podcast. It really helps more people discover what we're doing and keeps this community growing. Also joining me today, ladies and gentlemen, you're about to hear from the unstoppable trio that keeps Neomag not just running, but thriving. Together, they're the brain, the brawn, and the beating heart of both company and this podcast. Nate, the red-bearded mastermind, keeps the gears turning and shop humming with precision and care. Michael, our creative force of nature, transforms caffeine and passion into content that connects and inspires, all while being a dead eye with a handgun. And Tiberius, the legendary voice of sales and a bona fide YouTube icon, brings wisdom, experience, and unmatched energy to everything he touches. Individually, they're incredible. Together, they're the reason Neomag continues to innovate, grow, and entertain. Please welcome the all-star team that makes the whole thing awesome. I was trying to do too many things at once.
Okay, hold on, I got a question. Who's the brain, who's the brawn, and who's the heart?
Oh, hold on, there's the applause.
That's a good question.
I have no idea.
I'm clearly not the brain.
I'm going to let you guys argue over that one.
Tib, you're the heart.
Thanks, I'll take that.
And Nate, you can have the brain.
Okay, I'll take it.
There we go.
That leaves you with brawn. The guy with the broken back is the brawn.
I got it.
Of Neomag. That's concerning, to be honest.
Margie Thornhill says we're spicy gentlemen, and I like that.
Spicy gentlemen.
Spicy.
How you guys doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Actually, I shouldn't ask you that yet. Go ahead and hit the life segment.
Oh, okay, hold on.
And then I'm gonna ask you that.
Life isn't just the big moments, it's the everyday joys worth protecting. Family, friends, and community. Let's talk about what makes life rich.
You guys make my life rich.
Aww.
Each and every one of you.
You're full of crap.
Home Depot makes my life rich.
That's true. Home Depot. Patriotic Penguin asks if you have an intro. And the answer is no.
We need to create an intro.
I kind of give myself an intro. I kind of intro myself.
We're going to have to do it where we switch it up, where somebody else does the intro just for that.
I like that you're a YouTube icon now, Tib.
Uh-huh.
Apparently so.
He's a champion.
It's better than famous YouTuber. I think
he's an icon. It's a legend.
You're an icon.
I'll take either one.
Pretty soon it's going to be a gold plaque on your wall.
Yeah. I'll be happy with the silver one, but yep.
So before we got started here, we just asked people that were hopping in live, just let us know where they're coming from. We have somebody from California. We have Cheeky Fella from Cali. We got something Wish. I'm not sure if that's a name, from Yonkers. I know Margie's from the Youngstown area.
Got a lot of Ohioans.
Some from Ohio, Hackensack, New Jersey, Birmingham, Alabama, or Gary, Indiana. Slash. I don't know what does that mean. Prod by typo. I don't think you can be in those two places. Those are two very distant places. So are you from one and live in the other? Or do you just are you halvesies? Did someone chop you in half and throw you in both? That's a real question.
I don't see that comment.
You know,
I don't feel like I'm seeing all the comments.
Our friend Pro something or other said hit all comments. I don't know if we're getting filtered, and I don't know how to fix that if they are. Because I'm seeing a bunch of comments that apparently you guys are not seeing.
Michael's mom is watching.
On the top, there says top chat. Mm-hmm. I switch it to live chat, and now I see more comments.
Oh, is there a live chat?
Right there. So right here. Is what it shows right here. It says live chat. and I can select it to say top chat.
Yeah, mine's chat. Yep. I don't have a I don't have the option to do that.
He's not that fancy. He's probably not even logged in as admin.
I'm logged into the Neomag USA. I'm logged in as. That's weird.
I don't know. Born in Birmingham, live in Indiana. That makes sense. Got it. Well, welcome everybody.
Yeah. So what's new with you guys?
Well, looks like I start. I've had a lot of blood drawn.
You feeling lightheaded?
Not yet. Oh. But
vampire.
So note for everybody, if you go to have your blood drawn, be mean to the lady that draws your blood and she will not be mean back. Mm. That was the key. I had blood drawn Friday morning and yesterday afternoon. Friday morning, I was very nice and she wasn't happy with me and she hurt me. And then yesterday afternoon, I was
not nice.
Well, I wasn't rude. But I was not overly pleasant. I was even keeled. It was a simple hello.
Yeah.
I didn't ask her how her day was because I was like, clearly I did something wrong on Friday and she didn't hurt me. So be careful with the folks from the old lab. Be me. I guess don't be kind to the people at the lab because they'll hurt you with their needles. So there you go. There's your tip of the day, you know.
Maybe
tip, pun intended.
Maybe the thing is like match, like read the room and match the energy.
Well, I didn't even get in the room before she was angry with me on Friday.
Well,
so walk in with a one glove and just let it pop as you put it on your hand.
I don't know. I didn't even, like I said, I didn't even get in the room and she was angry with me on Friday. I just simply said, "How are you doing? It's Friday." Hope you're having a good day. I couldn't have been more than her second blood draw, whatever, lab patient of the day. And she let me have it, and then she stuck a needle in my arm, and it hurt.
Given a ill-tempered employee, needles might not be
the best move. No, it was not a good move. I will say that.
Sit still. You just
bring some snacks with you next time.
I guess.
That works for everyone, whether they're having a bad day or not.
Flowers, coffee, snacks, just come in, just like be all ready.
All I know is
bottle of wine.
When the door opened yesterday and it was her again calling my name, I was immediately dejected. Say,
what was the feeling in your chest and your
my heart dropped straight into my intestines.
You're like,
I was very sad.
Here we go again.
I was just like, oh, the same lab tech. She's going to hurt me again. Maybe if I just keep myself even keeled and not overly pleasant, maybe she'll just gently poke my arm this time as opposed to violently and rudely poke my arm. So
nice.
There's your advice of the day. Read the room, apparently. I don't know. I didn't do a very good job of that on
but
Friday.
Also don't get drugged down by somebody that's wants to burn the, see the world burn. You don't necessarily want to
stab me in the arm.
You don't necessarily want to follow them
vessel.
Down that.
It's fine. Just stab me again.
Yeah. Margie, I'm on a bunch of medication stuff, and I had my normal annual physical, just checking up on all of the different things, you know, your normal, I don't know, metabolic stuff, what's the word I'm looking for here? Cholesterol levels, all of those normal things. I'm getting older. I'm not quite to the advanced age of our YouTube icon.
I knew that was coming.
So I'm not getting the old, you know, probe or anything like that. But
no fossilization going on or anything like that.
Nothing like that. But
prehistoric.
I was just the general checkup stuff. And unfortunately, some of the labs had to be drawn in the morning. Some of them have to be drawn in the afternoon. So it had to be two different appointments. Otherwise, they would have all been done at once. So hence the two different occasions with the same lab tech.
Fun.
Well, you guys are like this. When you go to get blood work or anything done, they always check your heart rate and they check your, they check everything, right? Well, I went to get my heart rate checked, you know, how they put the cuff on your arm and everything else. Well, they had a new machine that went around my wrist and she spun it up. It did its thing and it came back like 169 over 80. And she looked at me, she's like, have you had any, dizziness or anything like that lately? I was like, no, you need to check it again. And I was like, I'm typically like 130 over 70, like 120 over 70.
Did you walk in double fisting Red Bulls?
Yeah, so I was like, I had Red Bulls, but not today, not within this time frame.
Yeah.
It was just the misreading. So she got the old blood pressure cuff and did it that time.
She's like, oh, it's fine.
I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's usually when I have a Red Bull in the morning, but not right now while we're relaxed.
Yeah. But yep, so that was lots of fun. So I got a nice bruise on my right arm. My left arm's nice and fine, though, even after yesterday. No pain. Yay for that. But that was that. I had man camp this last weekend, which went really well. If you guys get a chance to go, you should go.
If you want to know more about that, you can listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, go listen to that. I'm not going to go through all of it again. But
is that what the hat is?
Yep, man camp hat. They give it out to all the guys as they come in. That was a lot of fun. A lot of good worship.
Did you get wet?
Did get wet. Not as wet as her camp last year, but we did get wet the last day. It did rain on us for the last little bit, so that was a little bit.
Yeah, Sunday was rough, wasn't it?
And well, I wouldn't call it rough. It was not, again, not anything compared to the previous year. There was not wind. It just rained. You have to pack up with the rain, which kind of sucks, but at the end of the day, I just got home. Everything's drying out in my basement and stuff. It really wasn't a big deal. I actually, because when I woke up, it was raining. I just packed up most of my stuff while I was in my tent, which I was in a backpacking tent, which is very small. So there was a whole lot of like crouching and squatting and trying to do stuff while inside of the tent. But, and there's, well, I'll tell the guys a fun story that I don't think is podcast appropriate from that particular event. We'll tell you about it afterwards, but got it all packed up, thrown into the pack, hiked out. We had our last session under the big tent with worship and everything while it was raining. It was wonderful. And then we headed out from there. So it was great. It was a great weekend. If you guys get a chance, go check it out. Man Camp is on Instagram. You can see some of the clips from it and hear some quick little clips from some of the messages and stuff. It's worth checking out. And if you get a chance, go for it. It's a lot of fun. So I did that. It was good. And then I'm actually doing a Halloween party this weekend, which is not my jam. You guys know that. Halloween is not my thing. Yeah. A friend of ours, it is her favorite thing. And it's also, I don't know exactly when her birthday is, but it's sometime around here. So this like combination of Halloween party and her birthday. Historically, she's gotten to the point where she's actually like moved all of their furniture out of the first floor type of Halloween party. Like, this is a big thing for her.
Oh, wow.
Like, they go serious for it. And they always do a theme. You don't have to dress on theme, but she wants to theme the party and everything. I think this year is like spooky Christmas. So Bethany and I are going as Bethany is the ghost of Christmas past, and I'm the ghost of Christmas present, trying to be spooky on theme. We'll see how that all turns out. I literally asked ChatGPT. I'm like, I don't know how to make Christmas creepy. Short of it being Nightmare Before Christmas, because if you just Google search right, creepy yeah. Christmas, the only thing that comes up is Nightmare Before Christmas. That's, I think, a little lame, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I like the movie, but who wants to just do that? So anyways, we're doing that. And then we're also going to go to Cedar Point, if the weather holds, for my wife's birthday, which is Sunday. We're going to go to
Cedar Point. Place.
Yeah. Which is also Halloween. It's Halloweekends. So more Halloween stuff. We're going to go to Cedar Point on Sunday, if the weather holds, with some friends. So bring the kids. So that should be fun. But that's all that's going on with me. Dan, I will take zero pictures. There will be zero pictures. No proof this ever happened. So just so you know.
Yes, Red Bull. He has Red Bull in his hand. That's my man. Already finished my Red Bull. It's like, that's my morning coffee. So just saying.
Who has a Red Bull? I missed something.
Dan.
Dan said he always walks into.
Oh, with a Red Bull in his hand. I got it. I'm sorry. I missed that comment.
Tib, what do you got going on?
So last week, my wife asked me, hey, can we do a couple things around the house before we host Thanksgiving and Christmas? I'm like, yeah, man, what do you have in mind, honey? Have you ever seen like the cartoon where somebody opens up a piece of paper and ends up being a scroll that's like 100 feet? Yes, like 100 foot long scroll. That's what the honey-do list was. So we spent this weekend ripping up carpet in our living room, and we put down some nice bamboo flooring, and it's about 90% done right now, looking nice. Good. I just got to finish the trim, and then I have a very long list of stuff to do over the next couple of weeks of, you know, we have a broken light and touching up some paint, and you guys get the idea, housework, honey-do stuff.
Did you actually put the flooring in, Tib, or did you have someone do it?
No, me and the boy did it, and as always, he was extremely helpful. It took him, you know, 10, 15 minutes to kind of figure out how to lay it, and like a typical boy, he doesn't always listen well. He has to learn on his own. So he made a few mistakes, but he did amazing. He probably did 50% of the floor. He didn't do any of the cutting. I'm not having him run a chop saw yet, but not quite ready for that. But he did most of it while I did the trim and the edges and helped him along the way, and he crushed it. Again, nice. Life skills. Well, I'm all about those life skills.
That's huge. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was good. And it was good for him to get exposed to that as well. And then this weekend, I have my first event with the Knights of Columbus that I mentioned last week as well. So they're doing a build with Habitat for Humanity. So we're going to build the framing, the walls for a house for some less fortunate folks who lost their house. So I'm very much excited to go and learn some new skills and help out. And I don't know how much I'll help, but I can pick things up and carry them. So I can at least do that.
Have you bought your plate armor to wear yet?
And chainmail?
It's on order. I promise. It is 100% on order. It's coming. Yeah. I got the sword and the helmet and the whole nine yards.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Yeah. I will take pictures. Unlike Nate, I'm not afraid. Not afraid. And then we have a big surprise for everyone.
Wait. Hold on.
Are you pregnant? Who's we?
The last big surprise was horribly disappointing.
Raisin Bran.
Horribly disappointing.
It doesn't involve candy corn or Raisin Bran. So don't worry about that. The four of us in September have decided to sign up for our tactical games. So the four of us are doing a tactical games. You don't remember this, Nate?
You're talking about you and three other people in the live chat?
No, the four of us.
It's got to be people in live chat.
In Garrettsville, Ohio, in September, we're all doing the tactical games together.
Dan, are you going to do a tactical games with Tib in September?
No. Michael.
I don't know.
I am not CrossFitting with a gun.
You mean CrossFitting and shooting once or twice?
Everyone listening needs to convince these three gentlemen to do a tactical game. It's right in Ohio. It's not far. I'll drive out. I'll come out to you.
Do I have to practice doing those horrible chin-ups that they do in the CrossFit chin-ups where you have to flail your body all around?
Farmer carry.
No, I don't think they do that, especially in full kit.
Deadlifts, power cleans, push press.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pass on that, but I will 100% come and watch you.
But you guys can come out to New England and do it then, and I'll buy you lobster rolls.
Okay, you've got me much more close to being convinced.
Can we eat lobster rolls while we watch you?
We'll go out there to come watch you do it and eat lobster rolls.
No. We're going to heckle you.
I'm not doing it without you three. I've done two of them already. You guys need to join.
I've already done one.
His back's broken. Yeah. Nate's on meds.
Excuse.
Excuses. I'm busy that day.
I've seen all of you work out. You're all more than capable. None of us are going to win. And it's
thanks for the reassurance.
None of us had a chance on winning. You go for the fun and the challenge, and I don't want to finish last, but it'll be fun.
We have a year to prepare. We're going to
exactly.
win.
Exactly. You have like 10 months
September.
To get ready. Yeah,
September 12th through the
13th. I'll sign you guys up. I'll reach out.
I offered everybody here.
The Spartan race.
I was going to pay their way to do the Spartan race.
I would have done it with you.
And everybody was like, nope.
I said yes.
Oh, you know what? Tib, I just looked at the calendar. Rosh Hashanah is that weekend. I don't think I can make it.
I will get your pastor to give you a pass.
I actually think it'd be my rabbi, if I'm being honest with you, but you know, that's fine.
So
converting to Jewish for a weekend.
Vacations that weekend.
I think that's what that is.
I'm gonna go ahead and change the subject so he forgets about this. I shot a sporting clays competition on Saturday.
Nice. Did you do any lifting cleans while you did it?
No, I should have.
Yeah. Squat, overhead press your shotgun.
Well, thankfully, I ride golf carts between each station. And I only have to walk like 8 feet from the cart to the shooting stand and then back into the golf cart. Very, very, very minimal effort is given for sporting clays. One reason why I love it. But I shot really well. I shot an 87. Nice. Came in third. And the shoot I did before that, a couple weeks before that, shot an 87.
And, so that's probably the best you've done all season.
It's the best I've done. I've not broken 80 all summer. Last time I broke 80 was like March. I had a horrible summer. So I'm just it makes me excited to honestly, it makes me excited to shoot again. I was the shoot that I did 2 times ago. I showed up just like I suck at this game now, and so I'm just going to go and just have fun and not worry about.
And that's when you do your best.
And that's when I do the best. And then this past Saturday, I'm like, oh, if I just go and have fun and stay relaxed and I mean, like, you still have to do some work. Still got to read the bird and what you have to do and everything like that. But I do this every year to myself. I start off really strong, and then I take that momentum and I like try to be a pro all summer, and then I get worse, and then I give up come the fall, and then I start doing better again. I need to not care the rest of time. But anyway, I was pretty excited about that. Also very excited that it's hockey season. Honestly, my Saturday was great. I went, shot sporting clays in the morning, came home, mowed the lawn real quick, took a nap, and then went to a hockey game. The Lake Erie Monsters, they ended up losing in a shootout, which I'll take a loss, and it goes in overtime. And then it was actually extra rounds of the shootout too. So it was a great game. And then tonight I'm actually coming right back in here. I got to keep all this. I was going to go ahead and keep stuff set up. I'm going to be hopping on another podcast. The guys at the Gun Experiment podcast asked me to join tonight. And I hadn't heard them before, but I did go back and listen to them. And I actually really like the podcast. There's not a lot of like gun podcasts that I really like. But it is one that actually like, so I'm looking forward to hopping on with them. So make sure you guys check out that episode whenever it comes out. I'll let you guys know when that episode comes out.
The Gun Experiment.
Hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you, Michael?
This weekend was kind of busy, and there was events that happened that I wasn't expecting, but it all works out in its own way. So I was on the way to the airport to pick up the lady, and the truck engine display, like the display on the dash, just lit up like a Christmas tree. And the first one I saw was the parking brake, and the 2021s and up have the electronic parking brake, which is known to have faults and issues and sometimes just locks on even when you're driving. So I'm like, oh, that's the first thing I saw, and I'm like, oh great, here we go. Like, starting to get a little rumble, right? Like, I'm thinking it's locking up. So that wasn't the case. Everything else kicked on right afterwards, and then lights started flashing again like a Christmas tree. And then I heard the knock, and I was like, oh, I've done this before. So I just bought the truck. I've only had it like 4 months. Thankfully I had a warranty, being smart over the years and a little bit of wisdom with the baldness. I had the warranty. So I called my good friend that I purchased the vehicle from the dealership. They said tow it to the shop, had it towed to the shop. So picked up the girlfriend in the wrecker with my truck, rode like 30 minutes. Like, let me remind you the time frame. So I picked her up at 3:00. So rode 30 minutes to the dealership, waited there for them to get a vehicle for me, got a vehicle, and then left and drove home. So from 3:00 until 7:30 is when we got home. So it was a long ordeal for a Thursday, and then come back in the office Friday and get prepped for demo day. So that was eventful.
The worst luck. Man, with vehicles, bro.
I was super excited about this truck. Like, it passed all inspections. I put a new bed rack on the back. You know, like, we're going to overland it, and then the engine blows. So thankfully the warranty's covering it as far as I know. I haven't heard from them or anything from the shop, but that'll be a new engine and a very low-end mileage on the body. So I'm super excited about that. Hopefully that extends the warranty too, being that it's a GM component. But nonetheless, I didn't take it as a negative outcome. You know, I was just like, well, you know what? These things happen in life. Warranty's got it covered. And I still didn't let it shut down the weekend, because the weekend was jam-packed. Friday, we worked here. We had our product launch, which was super exciting. And then had the Monsters game. I love hockey. So going to the game, fights broke out. They looked really well until they didn't. Yeah. so that's kind of how that goes. But we got to enjoy the game. And then Saturday was demo day, Monsoon Tactical's demo day. This is year 3 for them. This is year 2 for me being present. I've done this twice now, so good reaction time. But at Arrowhead Training Concept at Achille Hills Tactical's range. So I drove out there, had an awesome day shooting with the team, hanging out with the guys, getting content for Ryan, our good friend Rusty Turbos, Tanner and Pete, most of the Monsoon shooters. So got to shoot the stages. It was my first real activity in the last week since going to the chiropractor and just being stiff. I think a lot of it's coming from just getting adjusted and trying to like fix the biometrics of my body. So I'm not really enjoying it. So was a little nervous going. It wasn't that I couldn't move or I can't move. It was just wondering if I did something a little too quick or a little sudden, if I was going to cause any further injuries. So it didn't have any issues there. I shot for not shooting much in the last 2 weeks. We haven't really shot much, and my match is pretty much finished for the year. I came in fourth overall behind Tanner, which is a GM, behind Ryan, which is a master, and Pete, which is I don't want to miss
Pete. I think he's sitting in master class.
But I'm sure he's probably getting close to GM. So I shot 81% of Tanner overall, which is for me is a great way to finish out the season, shooting with guys that I've shot all year, guys that have done absolutely exceptional in the sport. If I was an attendee, I would have won. So that's cool to know. I was a non-attendee, getting to be a part of the team and hang out with everybody. So super cool to see. There's some great people there. Got to see some familiar faces. Chris with Vortex Edge, Tanner, amazing photographer, videographer in the industry with so many companies, primarily with Achilles Heel Tactical. And just got to have a good weekend shooting, hanging out with the guys. Again, that was really the highlight. And then Sunday for us was just relaxing, a day of just getting caught up before I had to take Cannon to the airport. But it was a good weekend. It's been busy. I've got some cool contracts coming down the pipe with my small brand. I landed a sponsorship with First Form.
Woohoo!
I had to send a text today to be like, hey, I don't want to embellish the truth. Is like this how I say this? Is this correct? So I am a sponsored athlete now, which is a humbling opportunity.
That's awesome.
And great experience for me. So if you guys want First Form, this podcast isn't sponsored yet by First Form, but
I want some meat sticks.
Just use all of your allowance and just order meat sticks.
Honestly, that's when they were like, yeah, we're going to take care of you and you get your orders in. I was like, meat sticks. I was like, we don't need anything else but meat sticks and the protein bars. But I love the protein. I've been taking it for a long time. I worked in GNC all through college and in high school growing up. So that's super cool. Got a lot of work coming up. Got a good photo shoot coming up with a good friend Thursday. And I got some night vision in. So company sent me some night vision. Now it is digital night vision. Me and Nate were kind of talking about it this morning. It's not as fancy or, tactical, COOOOOL, cool. But it can record and take photos. And
that part is super cool.
Yeah. And it shows you when you move left or right. So it shows you kind of like north, south, you're heading your compass headings. And then it shows your elevation or how you move and your degrees. So pretty cool concept. Yes. The battery life lasts a while. So
as soon as digital night vision like catches up to the...
I think it's just a matter of time.
It's going to be so cool. It's going to be so awesome.
I think it's just a matter of the price point is relatively good for the entry point of it.
Trying to get that refresh rate, trying to get it to be in real time, I think is one of the big things.
But now I will say it did. I tested it. I didn't drive with it much as I wanted to. Don't drive unless you're on a safe road with experts. Just
that's right out fun there. Though.
But yeah, I'm just disclaimer. But I did run around the yard with the helmet like a kid in the candy store at nighttime. So if my neighbors saw me, they probably just saw eyeballs.
Your neighbors already have seen you run around the backyard with a gun, so they don't.
My neighbors are awesome.
It's not surprising.
So, yeah, that was kind of my weekend. It was the highlight of demo day, getting to see the lady, spend some time with her, and getting to shoot some guns before it all of a sudden turned into wintertime. Can we crank the heat up too, by the way, because it's cold.
I did turn on the heat.
It is so cold
for the first time last night.
I'm not ready for wintertime.
I think the high today was 47.
That's true.
Yep. It's gross.
It's windy out today too. It's just gross.
My wife did ask last night, she's like, can we turn the heat on the house when I got home? I got home late from a friend's house last night and the house was like 62 degrees, which I don't mind, but I did understand. And that was before it got cold overnight. I was like, yeah, I get it. So turn the heat on. House is now going to be warmed to 67 degrees.
67?
That's plenty warm for me.
It's plenty warm.
I got 72.
It was funny. This morning she woke up. She had an extra blanket on the bed, which she hasn't had this whole time. I said, hun, are you cold? She goes, yeah, I'm really cold. I'm like, it's warmer now than it's been for like the last month in the house at night because I haven't had the heat on and it's been cold at night. So the house has been dropping down to 65 or 64 at night most of the time. So I'm like, it's literally warmer right now than it has been for the last month. And you're cold, have to add extra blankets. What happened in the last 12 hours that suddenly you're colder than you've been forever? But the heat finally turned on in the house.
Can we just say that I went to town hall or wherever I get my bills because I was like, I haven't got my electric bill. Well, they were behind on getting it sent out. So I got a copy of it. I was like, I want to make sure everything's paid up front. And usually you get it like a month early. So I pay it a month in advance. Yeah. I get lost sometimes. So my bill, I've had the heat off, had the electricity off almost the entire month. I barely have lights on. I'm like a stickler, like a dad walking to turn the lights off, you know, but it's just me yelling at myself. But so I get the bill. It's $50 in service charges. Like $10 for this service fee. It's $7 for this fee. Like, I'll have to show you guys afterwards, but my bill was $150 and it's almost $50 in just service fees.
It's like convenience fees.
Yeah. It's like convenience. It's like, what? I was like, I didn't even.
That's annoying.
My electric by itself was $60. This was $49 in service fees. And my water
That's
was
ridiculous.
$13. Yeah.
It's crazy. I pay more in service fees than I actually am in electricity use.
Yeah, it's annoying.
We're going to turn off the electricity all completely. No water, nothing. All right.
You're going to be living in a shell of a house.
Crazy. All right, well, we got some good stuff to talk about in Liberty segment today.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty isn't about what we can get away with. It's about how we use our freedom to serve. Let's explore what that looks like today.
All right, so last week we talked a little bit about the Glock ban in California. And in that conversation, I just brought up, I just kind of on the spot, I had the thought of like, hey, you know, I pose it to you guys. What do you guys think if Glock were to like, you know, modify or, you know, change how they make the Glock so that they can't be modified into full auto?
My thought didn't age very well.
And everybody was like, oh, they would never do that. And they shouldn't do that, which I think we all agree they shouldn't do that. But I'm pretty sure there are comments, oh, they would never do that. Well, like several days 100%. Later.
Yeah. You would never have thought.
No.
Nope. Some days later.
Literally.
Like, I could probably count hours.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming, huh? You set us up.
Maybe this is my fault.
It's your fault, right?
Sorry.
He talked to Gavin.
Sorry, world. But Glock announced the Glock V. The Glock's, there's so many reasons I don't like Glock.
21, 22, 23.
Their designations just drive me nuts. So, apparently now, just make it Gen 6.
Well, I'll...
I'm sure there's a reason why. Yeah, so basically, I just want to bring up. So Glock is coming out with Glock V. They're discontinuing all of their, well, almost all their models.
Gen 3 through 5.
And they're coming out with Glock V, which is supposed to just mean you're not able to put the switch thing in.
Yep.
To make them full auto.
Oops.
Kind of blown everybody away that Glock would do this. So what just... I do want to keep this segment short because we have a big topic to talk about today, but just kind of quick take. What's your guys' thoughts on this?
So I actually heard a couple things. One, I heard someone had an interesting thought because apparently there's a Glock Gen 6 coming out, or there was, and has been announced or was moving forward towards it. And one of the thoughts that somebody had was that there was supposed to be a big design change anyways with Glock Gen 6, and that they're assuming that it was already going to be not backwards compatible with things. And so they're thinking that this is an intermediary before the 6 drops. Like, we'll change a few things, and then Glock 6 will come out, and the Glock V will be our California-compliant model or something like that. This is conjecture. This is complete conjecture.
But though, honestly, right? that makes a little sense because to me, I was... The only thing, it didn't totally shock me that they did this, but what shocked me is how fast they did it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for a gun manufacturer, probably the biggest handgun manufacturer in the world, to just, on a dime, say, hey, we're discontinuing all these, and these are going to be coming out.
Well, in the picture, if you look at the pictures, they look like a Glock Gen 5.
To tool up and make whatever...
I think they've been working on this for a while, Greg.
Yeah,
they must have.
Well, and it's not... I think I said this last week. California is not the only one that has been working on this or has been fighting this.
Right.
Maryland was.
Illinois
was. I think New York may have.
It was one of my favorites.
Played with it. I don't remember. I don't remember if New York actually was, but I know for a fact Maryland and Illinois were both chasing after Glock on the Glock switch thing in the courts. So.
I mean, my Glock glows blickety blickety. Like every time I pull it's full auto because, you know.
Because this is full auto.
Because giggle switches don't even matter for me. I just pull the trigger and it goes that fast.
But yeah, I mean, so it's not like this was just in relation.
Yeah, there's
to
no
California,
way that this,
but,
that they reacted and made this change that fast.
Yeah, you have to think that a multi-billion-dollar industry and probably corporation, they probably knew well ahead of along the curve of what's kind of transpiring across the board. I do think the timing was just, you're going to have positive and negative. You're going to have people that are leaning heavily on the constitutional side of the 2A community that are going to be like, you're backsliding or you're not standing up for our rights and everything else. And then on the opposing side of it, it's just,
I think it's a good PR move for them.
It's either an amazing PR move.
Not from us perspective. I think it's a, hey, look what we did. Like, you know,
I thought you were done.
No, I just mean from a perspective of you guys, I know this is general, not us. We didn't ask. The gun community didn't necessarily ask for them to change, but we'll say governmental people have asked them to change and said, look, hooray.
Yeah.
We changed this. So you can't just drop these general Glock switches into it. We did the thing you asked. It's a big PR move for us. Big win. Everyone can celebrate. Rah, rah. At us.
And on the flip side of that too, it could be a great marketing scheme right before Black Friday and the holidays. It says everybody's going to go out and panic buy a Glock because they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't find a Glock anymore. But you have to also, like we talked about this morning, and this is a number just thrown out there, but hundreds of millions of Glocks out there. So it's not like anytime soon they're going to disappear. But if you are listening, I have some Glocks, and I know what I have, and I know the value. So if you want one.
My Gen 3 Glock is now worth
Gen
so
3,
much money.
Gen 4 and Gen 5 are now worth Staccato prices, more if not Staccato. Atlas. So I've got the setup. They call them Gucci Glocks for a reason, I've got you covered. So. But with all that being said, I do think it's either a good marketing scheme or it's the next step up for what's to come. I do think they could have better capitalized on the moment with SIG having hiccups with the government to turn around and maybe go that line. But to their point or to our point, the government firearms like the Mark 18, everything else, they're already different than what the civilian aspect gets. Yep. So... yeah, I don't know. It's setting a potential precedence for the opposition of the 2A side of the house to say, okay, well, we got one to conform. Let's see what that. So there, you know, there's playing devil's advocate. Well, there's two sides of the sword.
Does a full auto mod exist for SIG Smith thing? Like, have you guys ever seen? I've never even seen a full auto other.
No.
So.
No clue.
I kind of wonder if
they're 5.7.
I kind of wonder if any of these other handguns are capable of.
No.
If anybody in the comments has ever heard of.
But the FRT trigger. Like, you just eliminated the clock switch, which is already illegal, but put in a legal trigger now, and you see it all over the internet. The 22s that go burp. Like, Monsoon Demo Day, they had an FRT trigger, and I mean, it was.
I'm not going to throw them out in the comments, but there's an individual that's frequently in our comments that has one.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would have one, but that's, you know, it's counterintuitive if you're going to say, let's change a design, eliminate something that's already illegal, but here, by the way, just pull the trigger and this does the same thing.
I would be curious if somebody can figure out still how to turn the B full auto. That would be...
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It'd be kind of funny.
Or 3D printing is going to be the thing.
So Vinny's in our comments on Instagram, and he said, anything can be converted, LOL.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, Vinny.
Yeah.
No,
which has been our argument this whole time anyways, by the way.
Well, but I guess one of the reasons why I was asking if there's any other handguns that are full auto, because maybe there is a design feature in all these other handguns that you can't turn them full auto.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is like BNT, maybe with their like... TP9s and their variants that are pistols with braces and stocks and so forth.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, I just want to kind of retouch that segment or that topic on this segment. So I came across a article this morning on Fox News about the Supreme Court is considering a case. So here, I'll just read the summary. So the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case that could determine whether Americans who regularly use marijuana can legally own firearms. The case stems from a Texas man, Ali Daniel Hamani, whose felony gun charge was dismissed after a federal appeals court ruled that banning marijuana users from owning guns violates the Second Amendment. The Justice Department appealed that decision, and the Supreme Court is now set to review it. The argument's expected in 2026. This case could have nationwide implications since marijuana remains illegal under federal law despite being legalized in many states. The outcome could reshape the intersection between gun ownership rights and federal drug laws. So, what do you guys think about this?
I have no problem addressing it. I don't think marijuana should be treated much different than alcohol.
Yeah.
As I've said before, I don't want the government really telling me what I can and can't do in any way, shape, or form. I have a lot of libertarian views that way, and I don't think people should be shooting under the influence of alcohol or marijuana, but if someone chooses to do either one of them, it shouldn't, you know, stop them from having certain rights or any rights. Or,
I mean, I agree with you, Tib. Tib, you and I sit on the same seat on this one. I've always made the argument, especially when it comes to marijuana, alcohol, people drink alcohol, they will beat somebody, they'll kill somebody, they do that stuff. When have you ever heard of somebody smoking a joint and then going and killing somebody? Other than
Twinkies,
a Crunchwrap Supreme from McDonald's, or from Taco Bell, no one has ever killed somebody after smoking a joint. You know, short of it being laced with something.
I mean, there are people that have that have driven. Right.
My point is the intent.
Yes, right? like there's not many people get violent after.
That's what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying that anyone, but it's the same thing with drunk being drunk, right? Yep. It's the same perspective to me. If drinking is legal, and now in many states smoking marijuana is legal, treat it the exact same way. You shouldn't be carrying a gun when you're drunk or drinking. You shouldn't be carrying a gun when you're smoking or high. If you use those things, that shouldn't disqualify you from owning a firearm. One does not disqualify the other.
Yeah, that's the difference between freedom and foolishness. Like Tibbs and you guys are saying, having the responsibility. Like, and this is, I mean, I put a lot of notes in on this one, actually. But think about this for a second. For me, I grew up in the country. And when we were out on our 60 acres of land on the back of a tailgate, shooting clay birds, launching them out of our hand, I can tell you there's a countless number of times that dad and brother-in-law and everybody would have some beer and we'd be drinking some beer and shooting clays. But that was freedom and responsibility. It wasn't foolishness or understanding that, hey, I'm six beers in, I should probably not be shooting a gun anymore. It was just, again, that responsibility. Now, somebody's going to say that's not responsible gun ownership, but I can tell you everybody from the country has probably done that one time or two, or set out back and in their backyard and shot some guns and had a couple beers. Nothing to extremities, right? But this is the point that I want to bring up. There's over 40 states that have legalized marijuana, including Washington, D.C., right? So you have a state and federal laws that are not coinciding, and that's the precedence that needs to change, in my personal opinion. Because think about this for a second. Right now, on a federal level, it is against the law to own a firearm and consume, have, or possess marijuana. But in that same token, the VA recognizes marijuana as something as a substitute for pain pills or anything in that regard. So you're telling me that a veteran that just got out of the military that has PTSD injuries or anything of that regard goes to the VA to seek treatment, and instead of getting on pills or anything like that that become addictive, a substance that can cause violent reaction, therefore, or just suicidal depression thoughts and everything, things that have been tested and proven true to the medical factors of, you know, quote unquote science. So you're telling me that we're going to prescribe this person medical marijuana. They're going to go home with their marijuana to treat themselves and to help with their own PTSD or whatever it may be. But federally, that's against the law. So if ATF or sheriff or police officer come knocking, they are breaking the law right then and there because they can't own a gun and have that. So yep, that's where it's a systematic issue and it's not a safety issue. And one little thing that I can a caveat with that is now we've reached the point where lawful depends on the zip code that you're living in. And when the law is inconsistent, it stops being about justice and starts being about the control aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't think marijuana, I think that the Supreme Court should address this, and I think that this should be brought into a restructure of the system completely. Because if we look at the history of marijuana and how it was actually banned and found illegal, like, it was misled. There was like embellishing the truth. And when you take 40 equivalent of 40 Cuban blunts and put it on a monkey's face on a gas mask and you pump that into the monkey, and that's literally how they tested it, right? And then how they came out that it would kill you and everything else. The monkeys died of oxygen deprivation. They didn't die of marijuana or THC. They died of oxygen deprivation because every day they were putting them on a gas mask and just pumping them full of smoke, right? But the big push was it's the devil's lettuce, and it was a big negative connotation behind it. So that's where I'm at. As a person that instructs and works in the firearm industry that teaches others, there is not one veteran that I've come to know in my time that doesn't own a gun, or that when he got out of the military, turned in his guns. And I think I said this a long time ago with the VA saying that you could have a medical card. I warned every single one of my friends that was a veteran that was going to the VA. I said, don't do it, because that's just putting you on a list, just like people say for a registry of firearms, because now it's going to say, I bet he owns guns. And you know what? He's got a medical marijuana card. Let's go in. And I just busted you on a federal level. Drug possession, possession of a firearm, intent to sell, all these things put you away for life, right? If you want to stop veterans from having a firearm, I thought that was the scapegoat to be used. So, all of that being said, I am a supporter of marijuana over alcohol. I am a supporter of marijuana over pills, over narcotics, or anything like that. And I don't think it's a gateway drug. I know that's what we were taught, raised as kids and taught to believe. But I think it reverts back to what Tibbs said and what Nate said too, is it's not, in an impartial way, I said, not acting foolish, but being responsible in your freedoms.
Yeah.
Yep.
And letting the government have less control.
I was just going to respond to a comment. There is the Carrius Cross said he didn't know the difference between THC and the CBD. THC is the active ingredient that messes with your actual brain. I don't know how that actually works. Right. That's the thing that actually causes the high element in marijuana, Carrius Cross. The CBD is more of the medicinal side of it. So you can take there's gummies, I think, and oils and CBD and stuff like that. You can take that. That's more of a medicinal side of it. The THC is the
thing that gets you high.
The recreational
side.
Yeah, the recreational side of things. So that's the whole different side of it. But ultimately, I think that, and Greg, you haven't actually said anything yet, but to me, ultimately, it's just, I don't think we should be treating this any different than alcohol. That's really what it is to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't said all that just because I've been kind of nodding and saying, to you guys. I agree, for the most part. I think, even though I don't use marijuana, never have, really have no interest in it, I do drink every now and then. I'm a whiskey collector and drinker and kind of connoisseur or whatever, but I never drink to get drunk. That's not something I'm interested in either. I literally like the flavor and all stuff like that. So I'm a little more of a nerd with it. That said, I don't think just because you have possession of marijuana that you should have to give up your firearms. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, I mean, there's people that have prescriptions for
For much
opioids,
right?
Which are
class 3 narcotics.
Are narcotics, and just because it was given to you by a doctor, it is proven that those are horribly addictive and are not good for you. People,
and you can't have those even prescribed and have a firearm.
Well, but my point is, they prescribe those to gun owners all the time,
and
you don't see a federal agent kicking your door down for being prescribed an opioid. So what's the difference? That's my point. It's simply like, if I could be prescribed that by a doctor and it's a harder drug than what we're talking about, it just doesn't make sense.
I mean, to me, I think a lot of what this comes down to is just the complexity of the fact that marijuana is still seen federally as being illegal. That is, to me, I think that's the only thing that's left.
That's the issue.
As soon as that gets over overturned whenever that is. I don't think it's a if. I think it's a whenever that gets overturned. I think all this changes as soon as marijuana is treated federally,
yeah,
like narcotics, yeah, or you know, or
alcohol.
Here, like alcohol. Then I think all this changes. I think that's the sticking point in all this is like as the federal government that they're kind of stuck between these two things of like of this is owning firearms is protected by the Second Amendment and there's millions and millions of firearms out there, and then we have this then we have this thing marijuana that we still see as illegal. Well, we can't like that. It just makes everything complicated. So I think as soon as that gets overturned, I really think this whole conversation changes. And it's definitely a weird state that we're in right now, that we have certain states that are legal and certain states that aren't. And
the laws are different.
And the laws are different from state to state.
Well, even when you look at laws, some states it's legal medically, but not recreationally. Some states, I mean, there's some states where it's just not legal, period.
The only couple.
There's some states that it's legal only medically, so you have to have a medical card. You can't recreationally purchase it. Then there's the states that it's fully legal. Then there's the states that it's, like Ohio was for quite a while, was decriminalized, which basically means short of you having an absurd amount and dealing it, which we were kind of chatting about this morning, you're not going to be in trouble for. Like if a cop catches you with a little bit in a pouch, he's probably just going to take it and throw it away, right?
And don't quote me on it, but I think even with the decriminalization of it, it was up to an ounce, which is an ounce is a lot.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, that you can get away with quite a bit even in that scenario. So from that perspective, everything is a little messy from a perspective of what you can and can't do if you're crossing state lines anyways. So
yeah, I think they...
The one beef I have with this is ever since it became legal in Rhode Island, you can't drive down the highway without smelling it everywhere. Everyone is smoking. So like people don't realize or don't care. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you can smoke while you drive down the street.
Sure.
And I've had people before, when I was previously a manager, I had people come to work, several people come to work high, and they're like, well, it's not illegal anymore. Can't I come to work high? I'm like, the same reason you can't come to work drunk. And they truly didn't know they were doing anything wrong. They're like, it's legal. Like, what do you mean?
Well, that was a long discussion I had with my dad about. My dad used to work in the logistics trucking industry, and we were discussing marijuana legalization, and he was getting worked up about it being legalized in the state of Ohio. I said, Dad, it's no different than it's ever been. If you're a truck driver, you can't drive a truck while you're high.
You can't have a CDL license.
You can't have a CDL.
Yeah, they do drug tests.
You can't have a CDL while you're, and use marijuana at the same time. Just can't. Just because it's legalized doesn't mean you can still do, you can still have job requirements. I mean, someone just jumped in the comments and said, even if it's legal, you can still be fired from a job. You're exactly right.
Yep.
A job can require you not to, and that's perfectly fine. All of our cops in the state of Ohio, none of them can smoke marijuana. It's legal in our state. But as a cop, you're still not allowed to smoke, consume, do whatever you need to do. It's there are requirements. Just because it's legal doesn't mean you can do whatever you want.
No, there are. In fact, we've experienced when we're waiting for our booth to come back up or our booth boxes to come off the truck. So at SHOT Show, we tear down our own booth and pack it up and everything. We wait for the boxes to get brought back to us, and there's all these guys whipping around on forklifts, and the smell of marijuana
It's just reeks.
Is crazy.
They're smoking crazy.
And I actually know several business owners that have had to. This is a reflection of a few problems that we have going on right now. They have had to relax their strictness. They're more lenient on marijuana use on the job.
To get people to work.
they're like, if I can get somebody to come to work that can do the job. Now, obviously, they can't be like stoned out of their mind. But if they smell like it and they're still able to safely do the job, they're actually letting them go.
But it's like a smoke break I mean, that's I saw it in Nashville. Like people, when I worked downtown Nashville, even before it was decriminalized, it was just cops. It was a petty crime for cops, right? But you'd see bartenders go outside on their smoke break, and instead of smoking a cigarette, they'd be smoking a joint, right? So it's like only a matter of time before I feel you're going to see that, or it's already happening. But I do believe there should be a place and time for it, and I do believe that it should be off the clock, not on the clock.
Right? Sure.
And regulated. And then the workforce should still have the workforce implementations that don't change. What I do think is the government should stop micromanaging and let it go federally and really restructure the system. But it does, in that same context, it could pave the potential wave of what you see in other states, more left-leaning states like California. They're like, here's a needle. you want a needle on a syringe? Here you go, right? Yeah. I don't want it to see it go to that level, but I also don't want to see marijuana become the next alcohol that it's taxed out of oblivion, where people can't afford it for the treatment that they need, not just for fun recreational. Like insulin, right? Why is insulin, sugar water, essentially $900 for a shot when you make it for $15?
So just one of the thoughts I had just sitting here is I'm like, if somebody is driving and they get pulled over, they smell like alcohol, they can take a test and see what their level is. Do you know if there's something like that to see how stoned somebody is if somebody smells like it?
So I actually had a long discussion with a Ohio State patrolman in April timeframe. Asked that exact same question. I said, obviously we can do a breathalyzer test to test for alcohol, but to see if somebody's high, it's not like a blood alcohol test type of thing or a breathalyzer, but there are just similar to like the whole, step on the line and walk and those kind of things. They actually have some, I'm trying to think of the word to use, basically some visual cues and tests they can do that can show you levels of being high. I mean, it actually works for alcohol, it works for being high, it works for those kind of things, but it gives them probable cause to say, we believe that you are in fact impaired. It gets them to the next level that they can escalate.
Blood tests.
Correct. It can get them to the next level and say, we are arresting you for a DUI. We believe you're impaired, and go through that process. It's not as simple as, here, blow in this tube. Hey, you blew a whatever the level. To be honest with you, I don't know what the levels are, but it's not as simple as that, but they do have ways to work out whether you are impaired or not by simple. One of the ways it actually was really interesting because we did it while we were sitting there was with a light watching their eyes. Like he'd move his pen light left to right and watch your eyes.
Your eyes like-
and your if your eyes go to the side, then start to tremor, which it works for both alcohol as well as marijuana. That was one of the indications that you're under an influence of something. There was multiple ways of doing stuff, but it was a couple different things that it's like, they can quickly establish that there is an outside influence that will then move you to a probable cause of, you're under the influence of something. So yes, it's not as simple as blow into a tube. We see a level.
I definitely think it's time for a change. I mean, talking to a lot of friends that are police officers that have had some time on the force and experience in the field, they've had traffic stops pulled over, people in the car reeks of pot, they roll down the window and it's fumigating smoke and everything else, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't faze them because that's not what they're looking for, and that's not their prerogative, right? As long as they don't have drugs in the, or, guns in the car or anything like that. But it's gotten to the point that it's very lax because it's either recreational, medical, or decriminalized, or multiple states have passed it that it's legalized, that cops are so lenient on it that's I hate to say this, right, because I'm not a full-time police officer, but it's like I would rather let this person go and not care about the marijuana than spend the time filling out a police report, citing them and everything else for something that they don't even have to go to court for anymore, that they send in the ticket, pay it, and they're done for, like getting pulled over with the headlight out, right? So I think it's a precedence for the change only on the sole pretense of our states and government are so divided and so separate now that we need to solidify across the board, allow the states to run it, not the government to micromanage our lives, and allow, like our motto says, life, liberty, and equipped to pursue it, allow us a life to not live in chaos, but to control it with discipline, right? And that's, I mean, that's the true, it's like no chaos, but have the freedom and the discipline behind it. Don't smoke and get behind a car, you know. Don't smoke and go shoot a bunch of guns. Like, be smart, be safe, and just like alcohol. But I still, to this day, think alcohol is more of a addicting substance or drug, and I think it really alters the body so much more. And we've seen what alcohol does behind a wheel and to people. And the old saying goes, you know, you're either happy, hungry, or sleepy. So I don't.
Apparently,
I don't,
or stoned.
Yeah, like I don't see a lot of crimes that are, oh, he, you know, broke into a jewelry store and robbed all the jewels. More like he raided the McDonald's and took all the Big Macs.
Well, this case is expected to be seen next year. We're almost in 2026. In 2026, decision likely in late 2026 or early 2027. And this sounds like this case could drastically change this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in
this conversation. So, yeah, just keep your eyes out on this case. We'll keep our eyes out, and if anything changes, we'll probably bring it back up. But all right, you guys ready to get into Equipped?
Yep.
The right tools, the right skills, at the right time. This is where we get equipped to live boldly and be ready for what comes next.
So for Equipped segment, I mentioned this last week. I can't remember how this came up. I mentioned the Surefire Stiletto. This is my favorite flashlight. I know Tib carries one every day, right?
99% of
the time. 99% of the time.
Yeah, if I have pockets in my pants.
If Tibbs is wearing pants, he's holding up his, he's got the Pro 2. It's the dual light. The one in my hand here is the regular Pro. I do have the dual. It's on my desk. And then there's also the standard Stiletto. And I have a little bit of information here for you on each one, just kind of the difference. Making mention, we do carry each one of these that they are in stock. I think we only have one of the Pro 2s left in stock. But this is our favorite light. I just personally, I love how thin it is. And they are insanely bright. They have three different levels on them. So they have a tail cap light, which gives you all the marbles, gives you full. I'm blasting the camera light here.
Let him have it.
Just blasting the camera. So this is the Pro. So real quick, this the base Stiletto, which MSRP is $129. Full marbles, 650 lumens, just over 1500 candela, and it'll do that for 1.75 hours, which is kind of crazy to me. That is a long time of 650 lumens. And then the middle level is 250 lumens for 2 hours, and then 5 lumens for 30 hours. Frankly, that low beam one is the one I used
all the time.
Oh, I use it all the time.
I use this every morning when I go for my walk on low.
Yeah, it's just enough. You know, if you drop something between your seat and your car, you don't need 1,000 lumens to find
no,
the thing
you don't
drop.
Want that.
You'll go blind. So it. So it has the tail cap light, and then there's a button towards the end of the bezel that you can push for the other three levels. Anyway, the Pro, which is $259, is 1,000 lumen. It's just 5,100 candela, and it'll do that for an hour. Then there's 300 lumens for an hour and a half, and then there's 25 lumens for 23 and a half hours, which is crazy. There is a strobe option on that, and it is programmable. Oh, by the way, these are all rechargeable. The standard Stiletto is rechargeable with micro USB. The Pro and the Pro 2 are both rechargeable with USB-C.
Which is a bummer that the original or the normal one is just a micro USB.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll eventually update that or if they just want to make it purposely suck a little bit more.
I think they're just making it purposely suck.
Yeah,
I think it's just old and they haven't discontinued it. Yeah.
Well, I did see on the website for the Pro, they didn't go USB-C until 2024. So you may, if you have an older Pro, it would have the USB, the micro USB on that as well. So they did upgrade it on the Pro.
And the battery life is forever. Like, it really does last forever.
It lasts a long time. So here's the thing. The Pro 2, it's $399. It is not cheap. None of these lights are cheap lights.
That's MSRP though.
Yes, 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 yes. Do you know what they go for online right now, Tib?
I've seen the Pro 2 for two and change.
Two and change.
If you follow like Mr. Gunzinger or somebody who posts deals all the time, you can find that Pro 2 for two and change when it's on a good sale.
Oh, wow. Okay. So here's the crazy numbers on this thing. So it has 1,500 lumens, which sounds great, which sounds crazy. But the candela, so you go from just over 5,000 candela on the Pro to 35,000 candela on the Pro 2. It is
obnoxiously,
monstrously more. And it'll do that for an hour.
Which is huge.
Yeah, the Pro will do 1,000 lumens for an hour. This will do 1,500 lumens for an hour at 35,000 candela. The middle level is 500 lumens for an hour and a half. Same time as the Pro, but 200 lumens more. Goes from 300 to 500. And then it has the same 25 lumen for the same amount of time, which I thought was interesting. So 25 lumens for 23 and a half hours. The Pro and the Pro 2, again, both have strobe option, programmable, rechargeable USB-C. The Pro and the Pro 2, you can change the pocket clip. You can do either bezel up or bezel down. My favorite part, I like to flip it because I like to be able to put this on the bill of my cap. I do this all the time. Like, all the time. If I'm walking the dog, if I'm...
built-in headlamp.
Like, I'm under the truck, whatever. Yeah, it's built-in headlamp. The other thing I like about that, too, is I'm less likely to bump the... Or if I bump the switch, I know because the bezel's up. I'm going to have light beaming up at me. Where if the bezel's down and you bump...
All of a sudden, your leg's burning.
Yeah. I was like, why is my leg hot? Yeah, so that's just some of the stats on it. What's your guys' thoughts on this? Tibby, as somebody who carries it when you have pants on.
I mean, he's also a flashlight nerd, too.
Yes,
I am. I am a flashlight nerd. So I know you guys know this, but just for everyone listening, when we say 1,000 lumens and 1,500 lumens, that's what they start out at. All lights will have a step down where they can't maintain 1,500 lumens for an hour straight because it will literally catch on fire and explode. All lights will have a step down and get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. That's just the way it is until it cools down. I love these flat form flashlights. I have a bunch of Streamlight. I have a bunch of Surefire. I have Nightcore. And the reason I like them is they fit in the pocket a lot better than a traditional round flashlight. Mm. And I'll very often put these flashlights in my back pocket. So I put in my front pocket, I always have a knife. I always have a Neomag spare mag carrier because it's not cool if you don't.
Podcast and, sponsored by the Neomag.
Sponsored. And I'll put my flat flashlight in my back left pocket. That's always worked for me and it's always been very comfortable.
Yeah, I love the Stiletto Pro. That's actually, I took it out of my pocket at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And set it on the counter. But I won a mod light, and what Tib just said is the perfect explanation for this, is I put this in my front pocket on the scout pants with howitzer, or I put it in my back left pocket. The mod light that I have, great light, great candela, great lumens, but it is so bulky that I can't put anything else in my pocket without like smashing my fingers or knuckles going in to grab something, or I'm pulling the flashlight out of the pocket too when I try to grab something else. So, and we carry these, and we carry the Chycro. No complaints with the Chycro for a little light, but I've lost it so many times because it is so small.
Yeah,
and it'll disappear in your
pants.
That
is a great pocket. Just admin light. No,
great admin light.
Those are two very different two lights are in different leagues. However, but the thing I would come back to is like this light still has
three different settings.
I'm shining the low beam into the camera here. Like I can still have my,
you can do the admin stuff.
Admin low.
Yep.
Obviously it's way bigger than what a Chycro is.
But the brightness of it too, like there's two different categories of lights, but for the shape, the design, and being able to switch the clip around, having that back pad to be able to press, or for me, I'm more or less always press the button because I get the dim light first, the low light, because I don't need to whitewash my eyeballs every time I turn on 1,000 lumens. But it's a great light. The Pro, and you have the Dual. That's
the Pro 2. Yeah.
That one is...
I think
that one's borderline crazy. Getting bulky. It's getting...
it's the same size as this.
The light head.
Yeah,
head
I mean, but it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't change, it doesn't really change the feel in the pocket, really.
I'd be interested to see how that one plays out, but I mean, For flashlights, yeah, I think this is the home flashlight for us all. Except you've got the Wedge.
Yeah, right? Well, I was going to say, so I have just the standard, the original stiletto, so which is a plastic body. It's not, because that's aluminum, right? The Pro is aluminum.
Yeah, the body on the Pro and Pro 2 are aluminum.
So the stiletto, the cheapest model, is plastic, which is not a bad thing. It's nice and lightweight. It's actually lighter than both of those, which in one way is nice. The bummer is you can't switch the clip around. It doesn't have as much power, and it's USB, whatever, micro USB as opposed to USB-C, which truly bums me out. I really hate the fact that it's the only non-USB-C item that I have for charging, which is really annoying. I actually have to go like search.
You have to go find that one cable.
I have to find that one cable.
Cord, I got you.
But I really like the stiletto. I like the flat form factor. The only thing that I am not a fan of the stiletto is the fact that it's fat, like width-wise.
Width-wise, yeah.
I do carry the Wedge, whatever this one is, the...
XT.
The XT, yeah, the smaller Wedge, which Tib is comparing right now. It's not as bright.
No, yeah,
it is definitely not. It does not put out the... It does not have the output that the Surefire does. And
it's not a crazy... It's not a crazy amount smaller, though. I mean, it's not crazy.
It's in the width, yeah. It's not really in the height.
Yeah, it's a little bit narrower, which I like. I just like the way it. I like that form factor a little bit more.
And with that, there's only one.
It's two.
One. Oh, there's two. Okay.
Yep. It's got a light. It's got a low and a high. And it's not as powerful. Again, like I said, it does not have the output that the stiletto does. It is USB-C, which is nice. It is aluminum, a full aluminum body, which is nice, you know. So it has some of the features of the Pro. It does not have the price point.
Yeah.
Now, a Pro, which is nice.
Remind us again which ones we have on the website, Greg.
We have all three.
We don't have the Pro 2 yet on the website. I still have to get on the website.
We have one that will be on the website.
Yep. So we have...
We only have one because I stole the other one.
We have the Stiletto. We have the Stiletto Pro. We will have the Stiletto Pro 2 on the website. We do have a Wedge XT on the website. So if you want to get that, you can as well.
We recently just started carrying a couple of new items that we haven't even had a chance to talk about. This
well, we haven't, time. Haven't got to put them on the website.
Yeah, they're coming up. So just stay tuned. We have some exciting new accessory and gear coming.
I'll put them on the website soon. I haven't done it yet.
Guys, we have some cool stuff coming your ways. We're constantly innovating and adding things to the website.
We are, but we're heading quickly into dark season and into constant darkness here.
Gross.
So getting a good light is a great thing to have. Again, this is my favorite light because it can do everything from admin stuff to blasting 1500 35,000 lumens into somebody's eyeballs if I need to.
Well, I do like the two button feature of it where the back cap is just blast.
Yeah.
And then the front button is the I'm going through my admin lights and everything like that. Because most of the time when you're doing admin, you have the option of holding it whatever way you need to. Whereas the back, it's just, I'm just trying to blast whatever I'm looking at. So I like the form factor or the control factor of the stuff. It's a great light. There's nothing wrong with it.
I went to a concert Friday night.
I was
in downtown Cleveland and I brought my light. And the guy wanted to see it. Yeah. And one of them was a flashlight.
Is it a taser?
He's like, cool. But, you know, something that a lot of people might not think about is 35,000 candela is 100% a weapon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you get hit in the eyes with that,
it's temporary blindness.
You aren't going to be able to do much. Yeah. So it's not a great weapon, but it's better than nothing. So my thought was...
It just pauses you in movement anyways.
You know, if I can at least just distract, I don't know. It's, you know... Am I going to be able to beam somebody in the eyes if they're coming at me? I don't know, but
maybe laser beams.
It's also a good striking thing. If I had to, it's got aluminum bezel. It's better than nothing.
Yep.
But I mean, it's potential.
Rugged. It's rugged. Yeah, I ran over mine. So it does still work.
Don't you run over with your truck?
Okay. Okay. Valid point. I ran over something else, but this one fell out of the pocket, ran over it, picked it up, dusted it off. It's good to go. The aluminum body is just...
Well, Patriot Pangolin, if you would like to buy one, he says, I would like to buy a stiletto.
They're on the website.
He said ha, which I feel like means there's sarcasm behind that.
I think he misspelled have now.
I think what he meant to say is, have one right now, put on website. I think that's what he started.
Oh, that's right. You should buy one right now on the website.
Go buy it. I have a quick stiletto funny story. Went through TSA with the old stiletto in my bag a couple of years ago, and I got flagged. And the woman thought those two screws, there's two screws in the front of it. Anybody watching the video can see them now. Mm-hmm. And the woman said, "That's a taser, and you can't fly with that." I said, "No, ma'am, that's a flashlight." She said, "No, it's a taser." I said, "Push the button, ma'am. I promise you, it's just light coming out of it." And she got her supervisor over, and the supervisor's like, "It's a flashlight. Have a good day, sir." And yeah, she didn't believe me.
That's funny. Yeah, somebody thought I had a knife. I came out of the bathroom in the Cleveland airport, no, in Atlanta, and I just got through security, right? And I just went in the bag to grab my flashlight to put it back in my pocket, and I came out. Police officer tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, "Excuse me, sir, you have a knife in your pocket? Somebody saw you put it." So I pulled it out and I stuck it right on his chest. You know, his plate carrier and everything. I just turned it on.
So it's a great idea.
Yeah.
100%. If a police officer says,
"What's like, it's a flashlight. Come on."
Somebody says, "What is that in your pocket?" The best thing to do is to quickly pull it out of your pocket and point it right at him.
Like, I pulled it out so he could see. He's standing right beside me.
That is.
So I click it on. But
so we almost lost Michael.
That is the best. To a police. The best idea. You ever seen the
officer involved shooting?
You ever seen those reels for, like, you know, how to not hit, how do you hand your wallet to a police officer? And it's like somebody, like,
listen, I got pulled over recently, and the first thing I did was roll all my windows down, stick out my head smiling. It's like, "I've got a bunch of guns."
Oh, you didn't stick your light out right
no,
out?
No, I didn't let him know. But, and I got away with the warning. So
oh,
great.
Boy. All right, let's head into Faith of Fuel.
Faith anchors us. Fuel drives us. Let's open God's Word and find the wisdom we need to live it out every day.
Right, or Home Depot.
Or Home Depot. So today's verse that I put, it's one of the first things I thought about when I was reading the article just about the marijuana and firearms and alcohol conversation, all this stuff. The first thing that I thought about is this verse. It says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." That was one of the first things I thought about as I was kind of thinking through that topic of, you know what, is it illegal to do this and have this? No, and it probably shouldn't be. However, is it good idea? Is it bad idea? There are things I tell my kids. There are several ways to designate your decision making. One is it sinful? Is it sinful? Should I do this? Should I not do this because it is sinful? Or is it stupid? Should I do this or not do this because it's stupid? Those are kind of, if you filter your decisions in life through is it sinful or is it stupid, you can skirt around a lot of
stupid things
in life and make good decisions based kind of on that filter, at least to begin with. So anyway. I did want to give some context to this chapter before I get into it, because there is, and I'm kind of skipping around this chapter. If you're somebody, do you have a Bible? If you can just go to Bible.com if you don't even own one, and pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23 through 33. It's 10 verses. We're not going to read all 10, but just some context leading into this. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And he's telling them how to navigate the issue of eating meat offered to idols. Now, a little bit more context to the context is, if you are Jewish, you Old Testament law was you could not eat meat that was sacrificed. That was bad. That was no, right? The ceremonial law, when Jesus came back, ceremonial law was done away with because it had been fulfilled through Christ. So he's writing to this church who there are, you have this clash of the Jews who are now clashing and colliding with Gentiles. You have Jews who have just grown up with this way of life for thousands of years. They're just ingrained with, don't do this, right? Like, even though it's not necessarily a sinful thing to do anymore, they've just grown up in this way of just, this is no-no, this is what we don't do. Then you have Gentiles who did not grow up that way. And so you have this clash and this collision of two things. So what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to help the Jewish people break out of their kind of dogma, out of their preconceived notions of what's right and wrong. And what he's trying to tell them is, like, It is no longer sinful for you to eat meat that maybe somebody has sacrificed. If somebody tells you that it is, then it might be a good idea to not partake in it. But if they haven't told you, then don't ask, because that's just going to come across rude. That's kind of what he says here. So he says that the passage teaches that while it is generally permissible to eat this meat for the Lord's sake, believers should abstain out of love and consideration for those who have a weaker conscience, even if it means limiting their own rights. The ultimate goal is to live for the glory of God in all things and to ensure their actions do not cause others to stumble or hinder the spread of the gospel. So verse 23-24 again says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Then I'm going to skip all the way down to verse 33. It says, so whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jew or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So with that spiel, I'm going to open up to you guys. What's your guys' thoughts, information, questions? Like, what do you guys think of this?
Tib usually goes first.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I was going to take it so you didn't have to.
Well, I actually wrote down, this was a little challenging for me, so I wrote down some notes for once, so bear with me. Mm-hmm. First thing I thought of, remembering, like, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do it. Like, remembering you were a kid and your grandma's like, if your friend jumps off a bridge, are you going to do it?
Yes.
Not necessarily something you should follow. The first thing that stood Michael. Out. Say that again.
Michael just said yes.
Yes, yes, I will. The first thing that stood out for me is do everything for the glory of God, and even simple things like eating or driving or whatever, do it to honor God. Give no offense. It's not our job to judge others. It's not our job to control them. It's our job to love and promote unity, which can be difficult. Try to please others. Meeting people at their level. Again, not judging. No, I saw a story of a pastor online where one of his friends, who is very non-religious fella, came to church and he was just learning the ways of Jesus. And after he preached, he was really moved and he went up to this pastor and started saying, oh my God, you effing killed it. And they're in the church and he's just dropping F-bombs and swearing and he's so excited and he's just, and the people of the church were judging him, and it's like, because he came with a little bit more inappropriateness than he should have. Yeah. And they were judging him and they killed his excitement. They killed his love for Jesus. They killed him wanting to learn more about it. So that was one thing that came to mind. But I think overall, there's lots of sin in the world, and it's our job not to give in to that sin. Like Greg said, not to let our kids give in to that sin, but at the same time, not judge or put others down, just invite and welcome them to draw closer to Jesus.
Yeah. Well said. What do you think, Nate?
Well, one of the things that I've always thought about with this scripture in particular, and so everything, you know, it talks about everything is lawful. Not everything is good. How does it say? Hold on. Let me make sure I say this right. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So one of the things that, you know, so we were just talking about marijuana, alcohol, those kind of things. Those things are not inherently wrong. There's nothing saying you can't drink. There's nothing saying you can't smoke a little bit, you know, enjoy a little bit of the Mary Jane from time to time. But if you know somebody that struggles with that, alcoholism is an issue for them. Drug use is an issue for them. And you're ministering to them, trying to look out for them. Is it a good idea for you to walk up and be like, hey, man, you want to have a beer with me? Hey, man, you want to smoke this joint with me? Probably not, right? So in that way, advisable just to keep that to yourself. Don't partake of that in their presence. You know, it says, well, hold on. I'm going to have to pull it up. I have to pull it up. In which verse is it? talks about, well, in my translation, doesn't say it quite the same. It said something along the lines of believers should abstain out of love and consideration for those with a weaker conscience. Consciences is actually how it says it. Mine just says for the sake of conscience as opposed to weaker consciences. But it's the same idea where if that's something you struggle with or someone you're with struggles with, don't offer it up to them. If that's an area of sin in their life because they put that on a pedestal or it's something that they can't, they have an issue of self-control with from not going over the deep end with, then don't introduce it to them.
Yeah.
That's not, it's not about abstaining from a perspective of lawfulness for your own grace. It's out of respect of, hey, I know this is a problem for you. I can abstain from it because it's not a big deal for me, but I know it's a problem for you. So I don't want to affect your walk by introducing this as an issue for you. So let me just back off on this so we can all celebrate our own, our faith together.
Yeah.
And it's not a judgment thing. It's not a, oh, well, Greg has an issue with the brown sauce, so none of us can do it. No, it's not that. It's out of loving care for you and us all doing this together. Doesn't mean I can't enjoy it when I'm not with you, but when we're together and we all know, it's all good. We just don't.
And just to add add another level to that is even if somebody doesn't necessarily have, you know, physical, you know, have a problem with control with that thing, if somebody has
a moral compunction.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yeah. If somebody even has, so, you know, for example, I have friends who do not drink, don't really want to be around it.
Yeah.
So when they come over to our house and we're having dinner, I don't bring it out. I don't offer it to them because correct. I know that that is something that they have drawn a line in that they're not going to partake correct. In. I'm totally fine with doing that.
Yeah, sorry. You're right.
Yeah, I'm just adding 100%. I do 100% agree with what you said. I'm just kind of adding to that of like
just being respectful,
which is kind of what this, which is kind of what the case of in here in 1 Corinthians is all about. Is he's saying if you are going to, in this case, eat meat, if you're going to partake, if you're going to go to somebody's house and what they want to do isn't sinful, even though I think it might be stupid, if it's not sinful, then it's okay to be around. You know, even if you don't partake, it's okay to be around. You don't have to like, you know, tell them off
yeah.
you know, for this because what they're, this line that they have drawn, well, it's not sinful. It's okay for them to partake in. It's okay for you to partake in if it's not sinful so that you can connect with them. There are, you know, I know I've got examples. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I have put myself into situations where I have partaken in things that, man, I wish I could think of an example, but I've done things with people so that I can relate to them. Just so I can relate with them. I'm not going to, not going to put them down for that. Or I've chosen not to partake, but I've been with them
yeah.
in this case because what they're wanting to do again is not sinful. It might not be something that I want to do, if it is something that you know that as long as it's not sinful, it's not stupid, that I'm willing to do, then I'll try it. But ultimately, the goal should be to lift people up. One of the notes I wrote down here is the guiding rule is not what can I get away with, but how can I serve others?
Yep.
Like that's really what this all is about, is putting others before yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of leading into kind of what I wrote down too, because I took a little bit of time to decipher this and to break it down into what I felt was the context for me and what Paul was conveying to everyone. And I think he broke it down to live with intention and integrity as believers, especially in a world that constantly tells us, do what you want, you have the right, or you've got the right to. So to sum some of this up, in the context, it's the principle that, hey, your freedom isn't a license, it's an opportunity to love,
mm-hmm.
yep. right? So with that, we should carry that principle into every part of life, how we talk, how we post, how we spend our money, how we carry ourselves. It's, again, not about losing your right, it's about using them with wisdom and humility so that your actions point people toward Christ and not away from him. So I want to read the verse again, and Paul brings it home with this. Whatever you do, eat, drink, work, train, lead, do it all to the glory of God. So that means your ordinary daily choices matter. Your EDC setup matters, your conversations, your habits. They can all be an expression of worship when they're done with love and purpose. So if I were to sum all of this up for me and how I read this Bible verse, it's freedom in Christ isn't about doing whatever we want. It's about doing what helps others to see him better.
Yeah. Amen. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mic drop. Hang on. Let me take the mic off and
flashlight drop.
Flashlight drop. And it's durable. They're on the website.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate that. For all the commenters today, man, you guys are awesome today. So many comments. We're trying to keep us at a relatively good time, so we didn't necessarily bring all the comments in, but we were trying to chat back with you throughout here. So thank you guys so much for those of you who joined live. We appreciate it so much. You guys ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's go.
Home Depot.
Thanks for tuning in to Life, Liberty, and Equipped. If today's conversation challenged you, encouraged you, or helped you get more equipped to pursue your mission, share it with a friend or drop a comment and leave us a review.
Don't forget, we go live on the NewYamag YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram when they let us. So be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you can be part of the next live show.
And if you guys are not already part of the NeoMag Insiders Club, now's the time. Get early access to everything NeoMag gear-wise, exclusive content, and front row seats to everything we're building. Go to theneomag.com to sign up.
Until next time, live boldly, stand for liberty, and stay equipped. See you soon.
Bye.